Amen. Looking forward to that day. Appreciate your prayers as well. For my uncle passed away, and we had that funeral Thursday, and I did preach that funeral. And y'all pray. We got to preach to a lot of people who I know were lost, and we pray that the Word of God was planted. We pray that somebody comes by and does some watering. Amen. How many of y'all are hot in here this morning? How many of y'all are cold? Y'all don't count. How many of y'all are just right? You say, I'm just okay. Gosh, man, it's odd in here. All right, we'll leave it alone. And I like to keep it like a meat locker. That way everybody stays awake and freezes. It's good to have Brother Slate with us this morning. Brother Slate is an evangelist out of Arkansas, and met him through the Schatt family. I just want to, every time I think about an evangelist who's entering the field, who's entering the ministry, I always think of Brother Wiggins, actually, years ago, went into evangelism, and I'm glad we had a part in helping him and being a part of that ministry. But evangelism is one of those fields where, I don't know, today there just doesn't seem to be as many of them around. It is a biblical ministry. It is spoken of in the Bible as pastor, evangelist, is spoken of as a separate office, if you would. And so I think it's good for us to encourage, we'll call you a young evangelist. Amen. And encourage him, and just felt it upon my heart to have him come preach this morning. And I always want to do what the Lord leads me to do. We will be preaching on charity tonight, though, the message I was going to preach this morning, the second part of the message from last Sunday morning. We're going to preach that tonight, so I hope you'll come back tonight and hear that message tonight. But this morning we have Brother Slate, you come and speak for us, and we look forward to what the Lord has laid upon your heart this morning. Arkansas. Are you from Arkansas, really? Yes. Or no? Okay, then you're okay.
From Texas.
He's from Texas.
All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter number 7. I am from Texas, born in the city of El Paso, actually. My mom and dad were both born and raised here in Fort Worth, or in the Fort Worth area. And so I always consider Texas home. I'm always proud to be a Texan. But I have not lived much in Texas. They say you can take the boy out of Texas, but you can't take the Texas out of the boy. And so I claim Texas as home. I've spent the last 12 years in the state of Arkansas. I'll just say this about Arkansas. You cannot make up a rumor about an entire state without some validity. Everything you hear about Arkansas, the stereotypes, it's true. It is. It really is. We actually lived 4 years where we're at now in a small town of Rosebud, population 400. And Rosebud is redneck Arkansas. It is redneck America. It's exactly what you would imagine Arkansas to be. That's where we're at right now. We lived 7 years in Rogers, Arkansas, which is a little more normal. And that's where we knew the Schatt family. And they've been a blessing to us, good friends of ours for many years. And good to have Brother Stewart here with us this morning. Brother Stewart is a dear friend of our family. He was my dad's pastor in the ministry then in El Paso, Texas. It's good to see the Stewart family here again this morning. Always a blessing to have my wife with me. My wife is Abby. And we have four beautiful kids, three daughters and one son. We're very blessed in that area. And also my wife is expecting number 5. So we're excited about that. And always a blessing to have them with me. And Matthew chapter number 7, we'll jump right into the Word of God here this morning. Matthew chapter number 7, Brother Crawford, I do appreciate the opportunity to preach this morning. I don't take that for granted at all. It is a blessing. Thank you. I look forward to getting to know you a little bit more in the future. Verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Pause just for a minute and look at these two verses. If I understand my Bible correctly, and I believe that this is the Word of God, and I have complete faith in God's Word, if I understand these correctly, what these verses are teaching me is that more people Very sad verses in the Bible. Unfortunately, more people are going to die and spend an eternity in a place that the Bible calls hell, forever separated from God. More people enter in that gate than enter into the straight gate, the way that leads to eternal life. That's sad, but that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that few find the straight gate. Many find the broad way, the broad gate. Verse number 15, the Bible says, and by the way, I believe verse number 15 teaches us why that's the case. Why there are so many people that are lost without Christ. Verse number 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, I believe there's a lot of preachers out there, even preachers in churches all across America, that are preaching false doctrine. They're preaching wrong things. And that's why a lot of people are without Christ. They don't know the truth. False prophets have told us that if you can just be a good person, you can make it to heaven someday. If you'll just do the best that you can, if you'll live a good life, if you'll go to church like you are here this morning, if you'll just go to church and write out your tithe check and do all these wonderful things and be faithful and pray and help other people and do all these nice things, that you'll just earn your way into heaven. There's a lot of false preachers that are teaching that this morning. And unfortunately, that's why a lot of people are without Christ. They don't know the truth. Verse number 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse number 21, 22, and 23, our text verses for this morning. Verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. You see, these people here, they have listened to the false prophets in verse number 15. And they're standing before God and they're saying, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. Verse number 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for this precious book that we have in our hand today. Lord, without this book, we wouldn't have such a clear truth. Lord, and we're thankful that you've given us this Bible. God, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us this morning, that you would speak to us. Lord, I ask you this morning to help me, Lord, especially just to get out of the way. Lord, that the people here this morning would hear from you. Lord, where I'm weak and where I will fail, and God, where I'm inadequate, Lord, I pray that you would do the preaching this morning. Lord, that the people would be challenged this morning in every area of our Christian life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I do want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning about the steps of the Christian life. Now, I told you a little bit about myself and a little bit about my family, and I'm always glad to talk to you about my family. I'm always glad to talk to you about the Bible and things like that. But if there's one other thing that I love to talk about, it's sports. I'm a sports enthusiast. Now, being born here in Texas and being always proud to be a Texan, I'm a huge Texas Rangers fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Texas Longhorns fan. And that's just who I am. I love to talk about sports. I love everything about sports. I love most exciting thing about sports is the scoring. And football, I love the touchdown. I love the three-point play in basketball. I love the exciting things about sports. Now, in baseball, what I believe is probably the most skilled sport and one of the most prestigious sports. In baseball, you have the home run. Now, there's nothing more exciting when somebody hits that ball over the fence. Now, I love baseball. Now, imagine this to be a great baseball stadium here. And baseball, you know, obviously you've got the home run, but when there's bases loaded and somebody hits the ball over the fence, they call that a grand slam. There's nothing more exciting about that. I love baseball. So just imagine, if you would, a baseball game. And the game of baseball, understand here, if I'm batting, the pitcher is right down here. He's going to pitch the ball. I'm going to swing. I'm going to hit the ball as hard as I can. Everybody here understand baseball? This is practical. This is simple. But this is the best thing I know how to do. Everybody understand baseball? All right. Amen. Say amen if you're with me. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to hit the ball. I'm going to swing the bat. Now, I'm never going to swing at the first pitch because I want to look cool. You never swing at the first pitch. Anybody that knows baseball, you know, you never swing at the first pitch. So here, I got my stance. I'm ready. I got my elbow up. I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm not going to swing at the first pitch. Why? Because I want to look cool. And so I don't swing. Strike one. All right, now I'm ready. Now I know what the pitcher's got. All right, so here he goes. He pitches the ball. I swing the bat. I hit the ball right over here to the shortstop, and I run as fast as I can over here. And I'm here on the base before the ball gets over there. He fields the ball cleanly, picks it up, throws it over there, and I'm here first. Before I'm on the base before he catches the ball. Am I safe or am I out? Some of you are confused. All right. Has anybody in here ever umpired baseball before? You have? Am I safe or am I out? Sir? Say it louder. Like an umpire would say it. Louder.
Out.
All right. Did you understand? I'm here before the ball was there. And you're calling me out? You got to be kidding me. This is frustrating. Okay. I was first, just so you know. I was there first. But I'm going to try this again. Second time I'm up to bat. Maybe I didn't have my elbow up high enough. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe I didn't squat my knee, bend my knees enough. So I'm ready now. Am I going to swing at the first pitch? No, because I want to look cool again. It didn't work last time. So strike one, right down the middle. Got my elbow up a little bit higher. Bend my knees a little bit more. I hit the ball even further, goes into the outfield, run as fast as I can. I'm running faster than I did before, touch the base. Run farther than I did before, touch the base. I'm here before that. They're fumbling around out there trying to field the ball. They catch it, you know, relay it in here to the middle and then over here to first base. And now I'm here before the ball was there. I hit the ball farther. I ran faster. I ran farther. Am I safe or am I out? Do y'all understand the game? I was here first before he got the ball there. And you're saying I'm out. Now the reason why I'm out, as many of you figured this out, because you know the game of baseball, I went out of order. I ran the wrong way. If I'm going to win at the game of baseball, I have to follow the rules of the game. Now, it's a simple analogy, and it's maybe a silly illustration, but that is exactly the point that I want to drive home this morning. If I'm going to win a game of baseball, I have to follow the rules, and I have to go in the right order. If I'm going to win in the Christian life, if I'm going to win the game of the Christian life, I have to obey the rules that God has given us in His Word. I can't run around doing things my own way. There are certain steps of the Christian life. And if I'm going to win the game of the Christian life, if we can call it that, if I'm going to win, I have to do things the way God wants me to do things. Here's home plate, if we can call it that. Over here we have first base in the Christian life. First base is salvation. First base is salvation. If I'm going to make it home someday to see my Savior, if I'm going to have a relationship with God and spend an eternity with God, I have to hit first base first. First base is salvation. Now, the Bible says it very clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse number 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says 13 verses later in chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll be the first to admit to you. My wife will be the second to admit to you. I'm nothing but a big fat sinner. I'm a wicked devil. I sin all the time. I've sinned since I've been at church this morning. I'm just a sinner. That's exactly who I am. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that because I'm a sinner, there's a penalty that I'm facing. There's a penalty that is for my sin. The Bible says, chapter 6, verse 23, the book of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. Now that death, specifically, we find again in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, when the Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the punishment that I deserve. That's exactly what I deserve because of my sin, because I have broken the holy commandments of God, because I have fallen short of perfection, which is exactly what He expected of me, because I have fallen short. I deserve to die without Christ, without God. I deserve to be eternally separated from Him and spend an eternity in a place that the Bible calls hell. That's what I deserve. Now I thank God. 8 days before my 9th birthday, December 10, 1987, it was at an old-fashioned Baptist church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, where my dad was pastor. On a Wednesday night, I fell down on my knees at the altar like this, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve You. Lord, please forgive me for my sin. Would You be my Savior? Amen. And I thank God for that. Salvation. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the good news, the second half of the verse, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Man, I thank God for the day that I fell on my knees and I cried out to God asking for forgiveness, and He saved me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, couldn't say it more clearly. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if I was saved by good works, then I would get to heaven and I would just be bragging about myself. I would be boasting, telling all of you about the great things that I had done while I was an evangelist or while I was raised in a preacher's home and all the good things that I did in my life. And I'm saved because of how great of a person I was. No, I'm saved by grace. Merciful Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to save me. Salvation. That's first base. Now, in the game of baseball, if I'm any kind of baseball player at all, if I have any sense about me at all, if I'm playing the game of baseball and I hit the ball over here and I make it over here safely to first base, and naturally, as a baseball player, my desire is not to stay here. My desire is to get to second base. There's something wrong with a baseball player who's content to stay on first base. There's something wrong with that. The game is you go around the bases and you make it home and you score and your Texas Rangers win. That's the idea. Yeah. That's what we want. There's something wrong with a person in the Christian game of life who's been saved by grace through faith, the only way to be saved. There's something wrong with a Christian or person who's saved who's content to stay on first base. Something wrong with that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
First base is salvation. First base is
salvation.
Second base, separation. Second base is separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 17, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. The Lord has commanded us that we ought to be separate from the world. We ought to be different from the world. There's a lot of ungodly, worldly things that are taking place in this day and age in our life. A lot of ungodly things, unspiritual things, things that the Bible has condemned, things that the Bible calls sin. And we as Christians have no business partaking in those things. We need to come out from among the world and be separate. I need to live a clean life. I need to live a godly life. I need to live a spiritual life. I need to be a testimony. I need to show people that I have been saved and that I'm different from the world. Come out from among the world and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I need to live a clean life. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15 talks about wherefore the grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It teaches us that we should deny ungodliness, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. That's exactly how I should live. First of all, I need to be saved. Second of all, I need to be separated from the world. One of the very first things that I can do as a mark of identification for salvation is baptism. After I'm saved, I need to be baptized. That identifies me with Christ. And after that, I need to continually... And by the way, this here second base, this is a continual, gradual process throughout my Christian life. I know in the game of baseball, it's first base and then second base. But in the Christian life, it's kind of a gradual thing. Every day of my life, I should be constantly drawing closer to Christ and further away from the world. I need to separate myself from ungodly things. I was at a Texas Rangers baseball game just a couple years ago. I love the Rangers. We were sitting up in the nosebleed section behind home plate. And I had some family members with me. And there were just maybe a few people on this, on my right side. And then there was the aisle. And then there was my family that was with me. And then a few more people on this side of my family. And then there was another aisle. Now, the vendor, alcohol vendor, the beer vendor, came by selling his stuff. And just, I think maybe the person or the second person right on the other side of my family wanted some alcohol. Now, I'm not going to touch this stuff. It's against my religion. Amen. I'm going to brag on God for just a minute. I want to make sure we're real clear on this. I ain't nothing but a wicked devil. I'm a sinner. I sin all the time. I want to make sure we're real clear on that. But by God's grace, God has protected me from a lot of junk. Let's brag on God for a minute. Not bragging on me, bragging on God. God has protected me. I was saved at an early age. My dad's been a pastor ever since I can remember. And the home that I was raised in was a godly Christian home. And God protected me from drugs. God kept me away from alcohol. God protected me from those wicked types of things. Now, believe me, or ask my sisters if you don't believe me, they'll tell you, I was a mean, ornery devil as a little boy. My wife will tell you, I'm still kind of a mean, ornery devil. But there's been a lot of what we would consider big sins in life that I've never messed with. And praise God for that. I got my own sins that I struggle with every day. But there are some sins that I've just never messed with, and praise the Lord for that. I'd never one time have I ever touched alcohol. Never. Never even touched it. Never touched drugs. Never touched a cigarette. Those are just some things that God has protected me from. And I thank the Lord for that, because I don't deserve that kind of a testimony. God has been good, and God has placed me in a godly heritage, and I thank the Lord for that. So here we are, we're sitting at the baseball game, and this fellow wanted an alcohol, and he passes his money down this way, because the beer vendor's right here on this aisle, and I'm gladly taking his money. Sure, I'll take your money, and I'll pass it on down. So here comes the alcohol, and he's passing it this way, and it stops right here at me. I'm not going to touch this stuff. Why? I want to come out from among the world, and I want to be separate. I don't want to touch the unclean thing. You say, that's silly. No. You know, at the time I was youth pastor, in fact, Katie, you've probably heard this story before. Katie was a teenager in our youth department, and I know the odds of me being caught on TV up in the nosebleed section were slim to none, but what if somebody caught or saw me on TV holding a beer in my hand as I was passing it? I've got a testimony as a Christian that I need to protect. A few minutes later, another man, almost on this aisle, all the way down. He wanted beer, and the vendor was over there on my side. He passed his money all the way down. And by the way, I didn't touch the stuff. I said, sir, you need to come get it. And he did. He was mad about it. Then a few more men after him, further down, close to this aisle. I don't know why the vendor didn't just walk around over there, because that's the ones that wanted to buy the stuff. He passed his money down. The alcohol's coming this way. Stops with me. No, sir, you're going to have to come get it. I'm not touching the stuff. I'm just bragging on the Lord. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you another story. There was a man in our church in Rogers, Arkansas. His name was Dave Bussier. Dave, and here's why I was so determined not to touch that stuff, because of the testimony of Dave Bussier. Dave Bussier was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. His family had a restaurant business, and that's where most of their money was in the restaurant business, was with the alcohol. And Dave got gloriously saved. And he left the family business, turned down an awful lot of money, left the family business because he wasn't going to have any part of alcohol. And Dave was working there in Rogers, Arkansas, affiliated with Walmart as a vendor. And he was at a business meeting, at a company meeting, at a company party. And one of Dave's co-workers said, "Hey, Dave, would you hold my beer for just a second? I need to tie my shoe." Now, Dave had a testimony in the office of not touching alcohol. He had a testimony in the office that he was saved from that wicked mess and that he would never drink again. He wouldn't touch the stuff. And he had a good, godly testimony at his workplace. And one of his co-workers said, "Dave, here, hold my beer. I need to tie my shoe." Unbeknownst to Dave at the time, there was another co-worker across the room with camera in his hand ready to take a picture. And they were going to pass that picture around the office saying, "Oh, look at Dave. He fell back into alcohol and he started drinking again." And it was only the grace of God, I think, that God gave Dave the wisdom at that moment to say, "No, I'm not going to hold that for you." And the Lord protected his testimony. All I'm saying is first base is salvation, second base is separation. Whether it's alcohol or whether it's drugs or whether it's movies on TV or whether it's words that come out of our mouth, there's the dress that we wear, the things that we say. We need to behave differently as Christians. We need to be separated from ungodliness. We need to be separated from the world.
Amen.
Separated from the world and separated unto Christ. First base is
salvation.
Now, if I'm content to stay on first base as a saved person, there's something wrong. My desire is to get to second base. Man. Salvation, separation, third base. I'm not content to stay on second base. In the game of baseball life, I want to get to third base. Salvation, separation, service. I want to serve God with my life. And by the way, the more I serve God with my life and the more I have a desire to serve God with my life, the further I need to be separated from the world. You know, as a Christian, as a testimony, if I'm going to be a witness to you guys, if I'm going to tell you about Christ and I want to share Jesus with you and He saved my soul from hell and I'm so glad to be a Christian, I'm so glad that I'm saved and I want to share that with you. Could you imagine me sharing Christ with other people while I'm smoking marijuana, drinking alcohol, and every other word out of my mouth is Jesus and then every other word after that is a cuss word? Could you imagine the type of testimony that I would have? Imagine how effective would my service be as a soul winner, as a witness for Christ? How effective would I be telling you, serving the Lord as a witness? How effective would I be if I wasn't first separated from ungodliness? Could you imagine, you know, and by the way, every step as you serve the Lord and as you grow and serve the Lord, the further you serve the Lord and the more you serve God, we need to be separated from the world. That's how we need to live. Service. You know, I appreciated the choir singing this morning. That's a way that we can serve God. I'm very thankful for the ladies or whoever's in the nursery right now watching my children and my baby boy. I'm thankful for those people who are serving the Lord right now. Man, I enjoyed the musical instruments. I enjoyed the leading of the singing. And I was thankful for the men that took up the offering. Listen, there's a lot of different ways that we can serve God. And we should serve God in a local church. I tell you what, I don't know Brother Crawford really well, but I do know this. If you were to come to Brother Crawford after church and say, "Brother Crawford, is there some way that I can serve God in the church? Is there some ministry that I can labor in?" I promise you, he's going to have something for you. If there's some way that you can serve here at this church, there's some way that you can. You know, I'm reminded of the story in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, King Jesus, there in the story there, King Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's telling them about how they had served him and how that when he was sick, they came and ministered unto him. And when he was in prison, they came and ministered unto him. And when he was hungry, they brought food to him and fed him. And when he was naked, they clothed him. Jesus was commending the disciples for this and saying, you know, and he was blessing them for the good things that they had done serving Jesus. And they had a little bit of a memory lapse. And they said, "Jesus, we don't remember serving you like that. When were you naked and we clothed thee? When were you hungry and we fed thee? When were you in prison or in the hospital and we came and ministered unto thee?" Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." You want to serve our Savior, Jesus Christ? The best way that you can serve our Savior is by serving other people.
Amen.
Do you have a servant's heart? Do you love other people and are you willing to serve? We can serve in the local church and we can serve other Christians. Just be a servant. Serve the Lord. Someday, God's going to call me home. Because I hit first base first, salvation, separation, service, someday God's going to call me home. Let me make sure we're real clear on this also. I don't want to leave any questions in your mind. In the game of baseball, Texas Rangers against the Los Angeles Angels, I hope the Rangers whoop the fire out of them. I don't like them Angels. In the game of baseball, if I'm going to score, I have to hit every base, right? You understand the game of baseball? Okay. In the Christian life, it's a little bit different in this sense. And this is why I don't want there to be any questions. I want to make sure we're real clear. In the Christian life, if I hit first base and I'm gloriously saved by faith because of a merciful Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for me and gave me salvation. It's a gift, not anything that I deserve, but I fell on my knees and I begged for forgiveness and I trusted Jesus to be my Savior because I hit first base. If I were to die right now, I could go straight home. I don't have to get baptized to get saved. I don't have to live a separated life to get saved. I don't have to serve God in order to get saved. I can get saved just simply by hitting first base, putting my faith in Jesus Christ, and then from there, I'm saved forever. That thief on the cross didn't have time to hit second base and third base. But immediately when he died, he was ushered into the kingdom and he was saved. I want to make sure we're real clear on that. Someday God's going to call me home. And someday my sister passed away just a few years ago. Man, I miss her greatly. I can't wait to see my sister. You know, my papa, he was a pastor, you know, for many years in Fort Worth. And I can't wait to see my papa again. Other friends and family and loved ones that have gone on before me. I can't wait to see them. Man, heaven's going to be such a wonderful place. But I'm never going to be able to spend an eternity in heaven with God my Savior if I don't first hit first base. Salvation, separation, and service. Now let me ask you this morning, where are you at in the steps of the Christian life? Do you know for sure that you're saved? I'm going to read these verses to you one more time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, Lord, we lived our life on second base. We were clean Christians. We behaved like we should. Lord, Lord, we did many wonderful works on third base in your name. And someday, you and I, we're going to stand before God. And for many people, they'll hear this. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'll finish with this story. I always want to make sure that I tell people this. I don't know if this is a true story, but it makes for a good one. Back in the 1950s, they were playing a World Series baseball game. I think it was obviously before my time. And I am still young, bro. I'm a young evangelist. Thank you. The 1950s, they were playing in the World Series. One team was down in the bottom of the ninth inning by 3 runs. Bottom of the ninth, 2 outs. Down by 3, bases loaded. Most exciting thing that could ever happen in baseball, a grand slam, home run over the fence. The base runner, the batter, so excited, threw his arms up in the air, ran and shouting for victory. He knew he'd hit the ball over the fence and ran around the bases and dog pile back here at the home plate, so excited that they had won the World Series. The umpire stopped the game, said, no, you didn't win, you lose, you're out. In his excitement, what happened was, as he threw his arms up in the air, running around excited, he missed the base. His foot stepped right beside the bag. And because he missed first base, he was out. How horrible would it be for you and I to live our life as Christians, serving God, living a clean life as a Christian, and stand before God and God say, you're out? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? Are you separating yourself from ungodliness? And do you serve the Lord with your life? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Lord, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless the invitation. God, if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray that he'd be saved today before it's too late. God, thank you for free salvation. Thank you for Jesus for dying on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand, turn to hymn 167, Just As I Am. What a simplistic yet profound message. Have you hit first base? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you don't, I want to encourage you to step out of your chair and come forward. And one of our workers, one of our staff, one of our church family here will show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life. Have you hit first base? Christian, it's just natural for a Christian to want to get to second. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. With that becomes a new want to. A want to be separated. A want to serve. The Lord gives us that at salvation. How far have you made it in the Christian life? What a great message. I hope and pray that as the Lord has touched your heart this morning, that you will yield to how he has touched your heart. Let's sing. Hymn 167, Just As I Am.